Every day should be Friday.
That's a good line by BA. Lights up the Cleveland night. That was a good line.
There were a lot of good lines last night. Yeah. The key
Brian is really good.
The key is to kind of have them in your mental Rolodex and not plan them out.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Don't you?
Best way, probably.
Just kind of maybe
Otherwise, they sound a little stale.
Yeah. Do you believe in miracles? You know, remember when we had Al Michaels on, and he was like, I think it just kind of came out. It was something he was thinking about. And something he kind of, that was a show ding. He was on this show when he said it.
Is it bad that it's become one of my favorite things is to hit him with dings every so often to watch him get offended?
Yep.
Okay. Totally offended. All right, so we are going to second guess the manager as we've been doing all the time. If you're going to do it while they're losing, you got to do it when they win, too. So that's part of the game on this show. If you want to get in on the show, 216-474-0092. Give me your overwhelming feeling right now about the series. And we're going to go to the phones because I know there's a lot of people I want to talk to.
Clearly, the Yankees are the favorite to win. They're up 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guardians needed miraculous things to happen to win Game 3, just as the Yankees kind of did. You know, back-to-back home runs against Class A, that's pretty amazing. That worked for them. I'm still worried about the pitching a little bit. I think Stephen Vogt is using the bullpen like crazy, which is a good thing. By the way, when did the bullpen become known as the Four Horsemen?
When did that happen? 2 games ago.
You weren't here for that. I was talking with the other BA about the Four Horsemen.
When did that start?
I think it
was BA.
Brian Anderson may have started that. Yeah, I actually really like it.
Okay, great.
I mean, I like the Class A's Ric Flair. I think Arn Anderson turns into, we'll kind of build it from
there.
You're
thinking that Four Horsemen?
Oh, without question.
Yeah, okay, well, you're probably the only one.
Politely disagree.
I think the Yankees are still clearly, you know, in the driver's seat in this series. They're up 2-1. That could change tonight. I mean, Guardians win tonight, it's a different series. And it's a best of three. By the way, can before we do anything else and miraculous and phenomenal and everything else.
Right.
Matthew Boyd, thank you very much.
Wasn't it nice to see a traditional start last night?
Well, we're going to second guess the manager. It all worked out. But the dude gave up a run on 2 hits through 5 and looked good.
Yeah, he did.
And had thrown only 75 pitches.
Okay, let's talk about this. We'll second guess the manager coming up.
Yep.
It was absolutely thrilling. I mean, and I'm sure for everybody it was thrilling. Like, if you were at the ballpark last night, like Andrew Siciliano was, and we'll talk to him coming up here in a little bit. I mean, that's a game you never, ever forget. I'm a little concerned. I mean, and again, I turned the page pretty quick after I was excited because, okay, it's 2-1. It's not 3-0. That was my first feeling about
that. It's not even 2-2.
No, and there's a lot of baseball left.
You had to have it or you're done.
So here's like, I hate to say this. This is the thing in the back of my mind, and I'm not being negative. But it's just still one of the most fantastic games I've ever, and I was lucky enough to be there, is when the Indians beat the Yankees 22-0 in 2004. And I'll never forget that game.
Not much drama there, though.
No, but it was amazing. I mean, Omar had 6 hits. He was 6-for-7. Jake Westbrook got the win. I mean, it was just one of those nights you were just like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. And then the Yankees won the series. Like, that's the part that will always stick with me was, you know, they had this fantastic game. I think it was the biggest blowout in Yankees history in New York. And it was just this thing you can kind of hang your hat on. And then you're like, they didn't win the series. So that 22-0 didn't really mean a whole lot. Now, last night's game is meaningful no matter what, because it doesn't matter what happens down the road. Like, you'll always remember this game. You always will. It was one of those games, right?
There are very few games, I think, that people actually remember. Very few games.
Right, especially when you're playing 162.
This will be one of them.
No hitters you remember, perfect games you remember.
I mean, through your entire life.
Balls going off Canseco's head, you really remember, right? I agree with you. So in the back of my mind, it's still baseball. And in the back of my mind, I just remember how excited I was about that 22-0. And then the Yankees came back and won the series in New York. So a lot of new baseball, a lot of baseball to be played, especially over the next 2 days. I think tonight's another must win. I mean, that's what happened. And you got to keep winning at home. And, man, if you could push this thing back to New York up 3-2, that would be amazing. But you want to talk about putting the cart way ahead of the horse, you do that. I'm not going to do that. Jeff is in North Olmsted. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
How about those Guardians, baby?
There we go.
So I could not wait. I actually took a break from work. I could not wait to call you guys because, number one, I enjoy talking with you. You guys are fantastic. But a couple weeks ago, we were doing a Browns Therapy Monday segment, and I called you guys, and at the end of the segment, I reminded you guys about the Guardians and the run we were on, and I said we would see them in the World Series after we beat the Yankees. That has not changed in my mind. I am riding the emotional high right now. I cannot believe how fantastic that felt last night watching that game. I actually had tears in my eyes after John Kenzie hit the home run. So that shows how emotionally invested I am in this team because I believe in them. Two talking points with Voight, and this is what I think is interesting. One, does Josh Naylor not look non-existent in this playoff series?
That doubleheader felt like it was the the doubleheader was brutal. It was just brutal.
Okay, so here's my thing with Naylor. He looks out of shape. It looks like he's gained a little bit of weight over this season, and he just doesn't look like he's playing like the same type of ball. So that's something I would consider with Voight. I know he's the 4-5 hitter. You don't want to take a starter that plays every day out of the lineup. I want Manzardo's bat in the lineup. So however we have to get it there, we got to get it there. And you can't take John Kenzie's bat out after last night. So that's the first point. Second point
is, I liked him as a pinch hitter, I'm not going to lie, but keep going. Yeah,
it was nice to, see somebody off the bench late who could do some damage.
Well, of course. And I guess we'll play devil's advocate with that, right? So here's my other point, and this is the big one. In the eighth inning against Soto, Gattis threw five or six pitches, got two quick outs. Why are we walking Juan Soto there? Pitch to him. You got a two-run lead. The worst thing that happens is you give up a home run and it's 3-2. Then Judge comes up and you pitch to him. I'm walking Aaron Judge for the rest of the series in those positions every single time. If there's a base open, put him on. Stop pitching to these guys. We're putting ourselves in that spot. Having Class A pitch anything more than three outs has been detrimental this entire postseason. He's given up six runs if he's had to pitch more than three outs. We need to get him the ball in the ninth in his normal groove where he's mentally prepared. I've got to come in and get three. That's all I got to do.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Good phone call. Appreciate it.
He makes a great point. The home runs given up by Class A were huge. Doesn't happen if you don't walk Soto and it's two outs and you're up by two. Just pitch to the guy. Throw the ball over the plate. If he hits it, he hits it. So that set up Class A to have a couple of mistakes.
Well, we will second guess the manager coming up here in a bit. Jared's in Westlake. Hi, Jared.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, I was at the game. It'll go down in the annals of Indians/Guardians history and maybe the sports annals of Cleveland as one of the greatest games, save Rajay Davis's home run that did not win the World Series. But nevertheless, it was a great game last night. But you know, guys, I looked around after and before the game. The bars and restaurants were full. And I know there was some coverage of, well, what do you think of Haslam's stadium, plans for development in Brook Park.
Yeah, keep going. Yep.
This is gonna die on the vine. You're killing the businesses in downtown Cleveland. I think that's what the mayor's talking about.
Frank, stop. It's 10 dates. It's not even 10 dates a season. If you lose the Guardians or you lose the Cavs, then we're talking. The city can't even handle pregame right now. The West 6 tailgate just got shut down. I mean, we're talking about these businesses. We can't even do our pregame shows down there now. So, again, can we stop comparing a venue that is maybe having 10 events a year? It's just ridiculous.
And where's anybody who's coming in for a football game going to stay?
They still have to stay downtown.
They're going to stay downtown. They're going to spend their
money
downtown.
Yeah, you're going to get some more. If I'm looking at the airport right now, anybody see any hotels there now?
Yeah, they just tore one down.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for playing. 216-474-0092. Let's stick to Guardians. I'll take more phone calls. Let's keep doing that.
Stadium
Baskin
later.
And Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. The emotion of last night just oozes through your pores for a game like last night. I got to do it again tonight, though. I mean, here we go again. And you're going to tell me this place isn't going to be rocking tonight? I am so pumped again. I was pumped for yesterday's game. I'm going to be through the roof for tonight's game. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092.
A couple of things I was thinking as I was watching the game last night, Andy. I just I jotted down notes throughout the game thinking I can't wait to talk with Andy and Dan about it tomorrow and everybody else who listens to us and calls in. Thank you for doing that. The Four Horsemen thought I made earlier. Really? That's what we're calling the bullpen now? Okay, why not?
Oh, so you're in with that. I like it.
No, I don't.
You
don't
like branding things. Fan. You're not a big brander.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I like it.
What I care about is we have guys in the bullpen who can get guys out. When Judge and Stanton hit their home runs, I jotted this down. Sure nice to have guys who can change things with one swing of the bat. Huh. Little did I know that later on in the game, one of our guys would do that, and then David Fry would do it too. And David, I don't consider a home run hitter, but man, he's got pop and he's been clutch. Were you stunned at how bad the Guardians did that rundown in the ninth inning that led to the extra run? Jose just threw that ball so fast. I mean, that's basic baseball.
You know, they
run him down a little, man.
They had the rundown the other day. Remember, Jeff, we were talking about the rundown not from last night, but what was that, game two? There was a rundown? Was it game one or game two? There was a rundown in one of these other games.
Yeah.
And Jose had the ball, and I was just like, Jose, put the ball up in the air. Like, I'm just thinking, right. I hate to
you
say
it. You don't throw it. You run.
No, you take the ball and run the guy as far back to the base as you possibly can. Then you also give the pitcher or the shortstop time to get behind you. And then the outfielders need to start. Like, what are we doing here? Didn't you guys ever play pickle in the middle?
There's an off-season plan for spring training that needs to be put into place.
Yeah, that and bunting, but that's another story.
How about the Andrés Giménez play? Oh, my God. And then he threw it to Josh Naylor, who somehow kept his foot on the bag.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was unbelievable. And there were men on second and third. Nobody out. No, it was unbelievable. It was phenomenal.
All right, we're going to postpone second guess the manager for a second. Let's do it a little bit.
Oh, we're going to do it. Come on.
I'm sitting here.
Let's let people talk.
Yeah, just do me a favor. Just kind of keep it kind of quick this morning because there are a ton of people that want to talk.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ryan's in Astrobula. Hey, Rhino.
Guys, that was bar none the best baseball game I've ever seen in my life.
Hard to argue. It was phenomenal.
In my mind, I'm thinking back to what was the amazing, was it 11 or 10 runs they were down against the Mariners and came back and won?
Down 12 in the 7th and came back to win. But this one had such consequences.
Yeah, I mean, it was just this game meant so much more. Yep.
Are you guys reading my minds right now? Because that was literally what I was about to bring up. I think it was like 2000. It might have been 99 or 2000. And they came storming back. And that is just so it reminded me of that because I remember thinking at that time to myself, there's no way they're coming back from this game. And then I'll be honest, that's the way I was thinking last night. I thought there was no way they were coming back from that. I will say this, Noel and Fry, you might want to expect that, you know, some high chin music from whatever Yankees pitcher is going to be on the mound at some point. The way they drop their bats and everything, you know, those unwritten rules are in baseball.
Yeah, but you know what? They do the same thing. We had this argument the other day, and I got chastised for saying, what was it? It was Soto that hit the home run, right? And yeah. No, Soto got walked, and he started.
And he stared the guy down. Yeah.
I get it. Thanks, Ryan.
I thought John Kenzie Noel was terrific. He smashed it. He knew it. He flicked his bat, put his head down, and ran to first base.
Yeah. There was nothing disrespectful about that. And by the way, if you hit a walk off and you know it's gone,
Hey. Who cares?
That's what I say too.
We want that you guys, in baseball. It makes baseball more fun.
You turned me on this. All right. Mark is in Cliffview. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Andy, Jeff, I love you guys, and I love my boy Jonathan Peterlin, too. I know he ain't on with y'all, but, you know, I listen to y'all every day. Long story short, man, thank you guys. I was so pumped yesterday for the game, man. It was just I didn't even go to the game, but I always watched the game with my mom. She's 70-something, but look, she loved baseball now because, you know, the sports betting and stuff. So she's going crazy. But I just wanted to tell you, you already know. I just wanted to tell you guys, the score was 3-3, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I'm going crazy. I'm already going crazy because I told my mom when we were down 3-1, I said, look, Mom, I don't care. The Indians is going to win today. Guardians, Indians, you know how we go.
Our team is going to win, Mark.
Yeah, sorry about that. Our team is going to win today, Mom. So she was like, this is what I said. I said, you remember when Thomas hit the grand slam the other day in Detroit? I said, I feel like something crazy is going to happen like that. Bro, when I said that we was down 3-1, we tied it up 3-3. So you know when Judge hit the homer and then Soto hit the – I was like, oh, no. But I still was feeling the feeling, bro. And then you know what happened next. I told Mom when Lane Thomas hit the almost homer, when he hit the double, I was like, Mom, what'd I tell you? I'm like, I'm starting to feel it. Lane Thomas almost did it. But then Noel came with that. Boom! I was just telling her, I said, yo, Mom, this guy right here, all he do is knock it out. That's what he does. I said, and I was like, they call this guy Christmas. Boom, he gave us a Christmas gift. And then Fry, oh my goodness. Hey, I'm ready for tonight.
Oh, it
bro.
Sounds that way. All right, Mark, tell your mom, thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, there were so many little things that happened. I shouldn't even call them little things. John Kenzie doesn't get the chance if Lane Thomas doesn't hit a bomb off the wall for a double.
True.
Right? And it might not happen at all if Matt Boyd doesn't go five and give up one run.
Anthony is in Cleveland Heights. Hi, Toy.
Hi, Toy. Okay. So it's funny, Mr. Baskin, you brought up the Miracle on Ice. Not that this has a similar import, but I remember the one line from the SI article about it that said basically something to the effect of, here is something that is bigger than any of you. Because I was writing down, when I'm at home watching a game, I'm writing down little notes if I call in. You know, and I wrote down stuff like, you know, Schneeman's hit in the second inning had a .620 expected batting average, and Boyd in the first inning was utilizing all his pitches. And then you got to the later innings, which we all know about, and it wiped out all of that in a, you know, euphoria of unfathomable drama. You know, it made all that seem pointless,
right,
but tiny versus, you know, against what we were witnessing there. And you're right, Lane Thomas, let me repeat this. He was down 0-2 with two outs,
yes,
down two runs,
yes,
facing an 0-3 deficit to the Yankees when he hit that double. I mean, how you can't write that stuff. So
no.
I'm just, you know, that's when I stopped taking notes. I said, this is pointless to take it. You know, of course, you meant the Jimenez play. And it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable experience last night. I was at home. You know, the tickets that were coming down in price, and I was, if it wasn't 5 o'clock game, I would have gone. But
there you go,
know,
Anthony.
I don't care.
Anthony, thank you. We appreciate the phone call. I just want to get a bunch of folks in today because I know you want to talk about it. Zach is in Cleveland. Hi, Zach.
Guys, that size of the knot that was in my throat when Class A gave up the home run to Judge last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting me choked up now, man. I thought it was over. It felt like it was over then. And then Stanton just put the nail in the coffin. These guys were buried. And we gave up another one. We were buried alive last night.
We were, but guess what? Listen to the coffin. Listen to the coffin. There it is. Someone's in the coffin coming out.
And on the 20-year anniversary of David Ortiz deep into the night in Boston, hitting a walk-off two-run homer against the Yankees in the ALCS. I can't believe it, you guys. You can't write this stuff. This is beyond a movie. This is fairy tale stuff.
Tommy, that was the anniversary of a Tommy home run over Boston, too. You remember that?
Yeah,
it was a giant one. Zach, thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry, not trying to rush you, but I do want to get some phone calls in this morning. Jeff is in University Heights. That means hi, hi.
It's like a post-game show. Make your comment and move along.
Yeah.
If I Ryan Day, listen, Andy, real quick though, that 22-0 game, that was an August 31st game. So I'm not sure when you're talking about the Yankees came back.
No, what I'm saying is in the big picture is you can have a gigantic, humongous win that is, you know, mind setting that you'll never forget about. And then in the back of your mind was the Yankees came back and won the series. That's all I'm saying. It's one moment in time. It's always a series. Obviously, this series is much bigger than that series was. But it's a reminder that just when you feel like you're on the top, you know, baseball can knock you right back down on your feet.
Right, right. And so here's the thing, you know, tip of the cap to Judge, because that was not a bad pitch that he hit off of Class A. Most human beings cannot drive – hit that ball like he hit it. So, and like everyone else, when Stanton hit the homer, and then especially that botched rundown play, I thought it was over. I was like, gosh, we're going to be on the end of the broom. And I thought about that caller that you guys get from New York who had said that they were going to sweep us. But now what we need today, all that behind us, and I'll say this and get off because I know you're banging calls right now.
Mm-hmm.
We need Gavin Williams to pitch like he did in Kansas City and I think that was on Labor Day. We need him to come through like that. We need six strong from him today and see what we can do against Luis Hill and get this series tied up, and then the pressure's back on New York.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Against the Yankees, Gavin Williams just faced him once, and just kind of looking at it, you got four guys that have hits. Cabrera, Judge, Torres, and Wells all have hits against him as far as Yankees against the Guardians. Okay, let's come back. We'll take some more phone calls. We are going to have Travis Hafner. He's going to throw out the first pitch. He's going to join us. Andrew Siciliano, Brian Anderson, Ellis Burks, Kevin Stefanski's press conference, and of course, quick predicts all straight ahead. Baskin and Phelps.